Hello, and welcome to the Focus Church Podcast. Here you can find all of our weekly messages. We trust that God will speak to you today. Enjoy the message.
Well, I'm excited to preach the Word of God. Can we give honor to our founding pastors, Mike and Ashton Santiago? Thank you so much for this opportunity. I want to jump right into it. We're going to be learning from a woman in the Bible that my wife and I, in one of the deepest, darkest moments in our life, we studied this woman's story. We learned so much from her. Her name is Hannah. And Hannah could not have children for many, many years. And my wife and I had went through a 15-year period where we could not have children. And through Hannah's story, we learned so much. And the Lord blessed Hannah. You're going to learn that he blessed her with a miracle baby. That baby name was Samuel. And she dedicated that baby to the Lord and left him under the care of a priest named Eli. And we're going to learn from Hannah, Samuel, and Eli today. And we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 9 through 28. And I need you to stay with me. There's a lot of verses. And I'm going to get started. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. And Eli the priest was sitting in his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. And Hannah was in deep anguish. She cried bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for the entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he said. "Throw away your wine." Now, let me pause for the cause. It's very important that you understand that you got to be careful who you let judge your seasons of desperation for God. Because to him, she looked wicked, but to us, we look like we're crying out to God. And if I'm being honest, desperation isn't dignified. Desperation isn't professional. Desperation don't look like I got it together. Desperation look like tears on the side of the road on the highway because our God's been so good and I need him in a moment of desperation. It looks like being in my prayer closet, secluding myself from everyone else, crying tears on my Bible because I need the Lord. Be careful who you let judge your seasons of desperation. She says, "Oh, no, sir, I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think that I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." In that case, Eli said, "Go in peace. May the Lord of Israel grant you your request that you've asked him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again. And she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and they went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned to home in Ramah where Elkanah slept with Hannah and the Lord remembered her plea. The Lord's remembering your plea today. And in due time, someone say due time, she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel for she said, "I've asked the Lord for him." The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer sacrifices to the Lord and to keep their vows. And Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "Wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him with the Lord permanently." Whatever you think is best, Elkanah. Husbands, you need to just start responding like that. Whatever you think is best. "Stay here and may the Lord help you keep your promise." So she stayed and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh and she brought along with her a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice, a basket of flour and some wine. And after sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord, and I asked the Lord to give me a boy, and he has granted my request. For I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And there they worship the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we receive it in our hearts. We ask that our life and our path will be directed to this word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. So through this story of Hannah, the Lord gave me 7 lessons that I have learned from Hannah on how to be a family that seeks God. How to be a family that seeks God. Here's my first lesson that I learned is don't take time for granted. Don't take time for granted. In just 3 short years while she was with her baby boy, she influenced her son to seek after the Lord. In just 3 years, she influenced him to seek God. And in those times, in those 3 years, she would wean the baby off, and then she went and she left him at the tabernacle. And this God-centered mom influenced her son to seek God. It's very important that every family in this room understands that your time is limited, that you don't have as much time as you think you have. Trust me, they grow up very fast. You don't have as much time as you think you have. Here's what the Bible says in James 4:14. It says, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Hannah influenced her son in just 3 years. Some of you, you got 3 years left with your family. You got 5 years left with your kids. My question to you is, who are they becoming under your influence? Are they becoming people who are quick forgivers, or are they becoming grudge holders? Are they becoming people who suffer in silence, or are they becoming people who walk in boldness? Are they becoming people who are easily tempered, or do they know how to regulate their emotions? Big brothers and big sisters, who are your siblings becoming under your influence? Are they caving to peer pressure, or are they secure in their identity in Christ? Are they becoming people of integrity, or are they living multiple lives? Leaders, who are those who are following you, who are they becoming under your influence? Fathers, who are your sons becoming under your influence? Mothers, who are your daughters becoming under your influence? Hannah influenced this young boy just for 3 years when she had him. And I wrote this down: time is a gift from God so that you can get as close to his perfect will for your life as you can. And getting time right can be hard. I get it. My black people, you understand, getting time right can be hard. Showing up on time can be hard. You know, it's not just my black people, my Hispanic people, showing up on time can be hard. Okay? Los Hispanos siempre llegan tarde. That simply means Hispanics always late. I went to a Hispanic wedding one time and I was late to the wedding, but I was the first one there. Well, white people, I'm not leaving you out. Just because you show up to places on time, that don't mean you don't struggle with time. Let a clapping contest break out right now, the gospel song. See how many of y'all. Time can be hard. But Hannah got time right. Hannah got time right. In just those 3 years, she got time right. She knew that she must influence her son to seek God so that when he's around other people that are not seeking God, he would not stray. And when she left him at the tabernacle under the influence of the priest Eli, he had 2 sons. And those 2 sons was wicked. Those 2 sons did not have any regard for the Lord. Here's what it says, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. But then it goes on to say, yet Samuel sought the Lord. Who are you when you're around other people? Who are your kids when they're around other people? You got to be a family that seeks God. And to be a family that seeks God, we can't take time for granted. I got this short time to help them be who God called them to be. So in a culture of wickedness, in a dark era, in the political divide, in invading religious organizations with darkness, who are we going to be as a family? We got to be a family that seeks God. We cannot take time for granted. Here's my second point. Don't take God's grace for granted. Whew. The priest Eli didn't have the same effect on his sons that Hannah had on her son. The Bible called them rebellious. They were wicked. They were abusing their father's power and his grace. They would do wild and unheard of things. And Samuel got tired probably of just giving them grace, repeating himself. I got a 10-month-old baby, And I got this baby. He has all the toys in the world he can have. But for some reason, he wants to go in my cabinets and he wants to play with my furniture and eat the remotes and all y'all toys out of nowhere. But for some reason, that's what he wants to do. And I find myself saying no, no, no over and over. And my grace is full while he's 10 months. But when he's 10 years, I expect just a little bit more obedience. When he's 18, I expect him to obey faster. Here's my question. As a family, how long does it take y'all to obey? How long does it take your family to obey God? How long does it take us to step into generosity? How long does it take us to actually commit to God's house? Do we always got to pray about it? Are we going on vacation first? Do we gotta seclude ourselves for 3 months and then figure out a plan? God commanded it, we obey it. And God is looking at you not like you are 10 months old. He's looking at you like you are grown enough to obey him the first time. Oh, y'all not making no noise in here for me. We can't settle for cycles and patterns. God wants us to live blessed. He wants us to be kingdom builders. He wants us to live prosperous lives. But until we stop normalizing sin in our homes, we won't step into that reality. Don't normalize sin in your house. Here's my question. Is your house being normalized by apologies? Do they see you repenting? Do they see that this house is not a house for secrets? This isn't a house where we just hold it and sweep it under the rug. This is a house of transparency. And if you feel it, you should say it. And if you do it, you should apologize for it. Right? Because we're not going to be a family that takes God's grace for granted. Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:18, but Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. And he wore a linen garment like that of a priest. This blessed me. Because here we are, this little boy, dressing like his future. He has the priestly garment on. He's dressing like his future. Here's my question. Is your family dressing like their future? Do you carry that you're going to be called? Do you carry pastor one day? Do you carry teacher one day? Do you carry entrepreneur one day? Do you carry that on your family? Because you must understand, in order for our family to be a family that see God, we can't take his grace for granted. No matter my age, we must serve the Lord. Samuel served the Lord. And he dressed like his future. May it be said of Focus Church that we dress like our future. We are kingdom builders. We're not kingdom consumers. We're kingdom builders. Amen? And we're going to dress like our future. Here's the third one. How to be a family that seeks God. You got to train your family's ear to hear God. You got to train their ear to hear God. I told you I got a baby boy. His name is Elias Jordan. And Elias Jordan is adopted. And me and my wife adopted him about a year ago. January 12th, we actually picked him up from the hospital. And the blessing is that when I stepped into being a father, I just had this idea in my head that I just wanted baby nursery rhymes to be in my house all the time. And so, like, all you heard was the wheels on the bus goes round and round and apples and bananas, you know, just all through the house. And my wife got tired of it, and I got mad at her because I'm like, this music isn't for you. It's for him. And she says, I don't even think it's for him. I think it's for you. Because I was stuck in my head that being a father is like I wanted the baby noises and baby sounds. And every time I just wanted to be remembered of the miracles of God. And then one day I said, you know, I want to send my baby boy Life's Maverick City. And so, you know, I put Maverick City on the TV screen and he started crying. And then in that moment, the Lord convicted me and said, you're training his ear for nursery rhymes, but you're not training his ear for worship. How are you training your family's ear? Do they hear the word of God being spoken in your house? Do they actually hear validation being spoken in your house? When was the last time they heard that you're proud of them in your house? Is it worship being flowing in your house? How are you training your family's ear? I think this is very important and valuable for us to get this lesson, because if you're not training their ear, somebody's training their ear. And I refuse to let my child's ear be trained by that little snot-nosed kid and to be trained by that little fast girl. I refuse to allow my kid's ear to be trained by them. I'm their father. For some reason, I hit this thing like Pastor Mike. I'm their father. I don't even want locked doors in my house. I tell my wife all the time, don't close the doors. No locked doors. No locked doors in my house. No locked doors in my house. Why? Because I want to be able to creep in and hear what you're listening to. Who you talking to? Who's training your ear? Who's telling you that you're not worth it? Who's telling you that you need to break the rules? Who's training your ear? Because I want to bust in that thing and I want to say, but God said that you're called. But God said that you're loved. But God said that you're worthy. It's our responsibility to train their ear. Whoever they're talking to the most, trust, their ear will be trained. And I love this because Hannah dropped her boy off to the tabernacle. There's no better place for your ear to be trained than next to the presence of God. And she knew one day when he's not in my care, I need him to know how to discern God's voice. I need him to know that when the world tells him that he's worthless, I need him to know that God says he's worth it. I need him to understand that God has a purpose and call for his life. How are you training your family's ear? Here's the fourth one. You got to hone in on your family's hunger for God. You got to hone in on your family's hunger for God. Honing simply means giving special attention to something. Giving special attention to something. When my baby boy got his first cold, that was a hard time. Y'all parents, you know that, all right? You actually warned me about that, okay? I was on cloud nine until that baby boy got sick. And then sleepless nights, you know, trying to figure out how to make him better. And one of the things that we found that when he got better, we saw that his appetite came back. And that was a good sign that he's getting better. His appetite it came back. Here's my question to you. What is your family's spiritual appetite for God? Because if their appetite is not good, that could be spiritual sickness in your home.
Right, right.
At 6 a.m., are they on Instagram or is somebody reading the word? At 6 a.m., do you hear someone praying or do you hear loud music already been playing? When dinner time comes, are we gathering around the table? Is everybody in their own spot doing their own thing?
Right.
What's our church attendance looking like?
Yep.
As a family? Bedside Baptist, is that our second church? And I love church online, but you know it's better in person. Come on, Jesus. You have to hone in on your family's hunger for God. I got a picture of my baby boy and his appetite coming back. They got it on the screen. Look at this baby boy. There he is. Okay. Look at him. Look at him eating, y'all. Solids and everything. Beautiful. It was a beautiful sign to see my son eating after sickness. It will be a beautiful day for your kids to see that after you had a bad day, what you feeding on.
Wow. Wow.
That's so good.
After you have a hard time at work, when you come home, what do you feed on? May it never be said that we settled for a family that is spiritually starving.
Yes.
But may we hone in on the hunger and ensure that our family is always seeking God. Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Here's number five. I got to stay on my time. I told you we struggle with time. Let me stay on my time. Here's number five. Lead even if they don't follow. How to be a family that seeks God? Lead even if they don't follow. Wives, he don't want to come to church. Come to church anyway.
Yes.
Wives, he don't want to step into the doors of the church. Come anyway. He don't want to hold your hand in prayer. Pray anyway. He don't want to read the Bible. Read the Bible anyway, because what's happening is he's still observing. And conviction is still happening. It's just dripping in his heart. And one day the Lord's going to move him enough to where he shows up on Easter service, gives his life to the Lord, turns it all around. You got to lead even if they won't follow. Children, lead even if your parents won't follow.
Yes.
Good friend of mine, his name is Donnell. He graduated this year from high school, and he joined the South Campus when the South Campus opened, and Darnell didn't have a car. And Donnell would bum rides to church. He would catch rides from friends and his stepfather and his parents. They would actually just drop him off to church and leave. And he came to me one day, he said, I'm praying for my mom to come to church. I'm praying for her to come to church. He's 17, serving on the guest experience team. Easter Sunday, 2023, his mom shows up to the South Campus. At the end of service, gives her life to the Lord. Don't tell me that I cannot lead if my leader's not leading. I love this because 1 Samuel 3:3, the Bible says that Eli was sleeping in the bed, but Samuel chose to sleep at the temple of God where the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was. That means Samuel chose to sleep in the presence, but Eli was sleeping in the bed. And when Eli was sleeping in the bed, God started speaking, but Eli couldn't hear. He started speaking and Samuel heard and Samuel was in the right position. Just because they choose the bed or just because they choose not to follow God, that doesn't mean you stop. Because one day they're going to look up to you. One day they're going to be reminded. And one day God's going to change it all around for you. Here's number six. Manage your lives with margin. Manage your lives with margin. How to be a family that sees God. Manage your life with margin. Hannah made sure Samuel had margin because she left him at the temple of God. She didn't want sports and schools and district events to get in the way of him seeking the Lord. And so she left him right there at the temple of God. And because Samuel had so much margin, when the Lord started speaking, Samuel said, here I am. He didn't say, hold on, wait. He didn't say, I'm not ready. He didn't say, let me clear my calendar. He said, here I am. Oftentimes, God is trying to use you, but you're just not available. And I don't want God to skip my family and go to the house down the street when he's ready to do something big, when he's ready to build his kingdom, when he's ready to release a dream or revival in the city. I want to, my family to say, here we are. Yes. Here's what I wrote in my notes. God often chooses those with more availability than those with ability to do great works. It's not about you getting better. It's about you getting more available. Right. I want to be a church. I want us to be a church that when God's come calling for us, he says, focus, I want to go on the north side. Yeah. Focus, I want to go to Puerto Rico. Yeah. Focus, I want to go to Miami. I want us to be ready to say, here we are. Yes. Here we are. Yes. Here we are as a church. That's good. Here's the last one. We must be marked by sacrifice. We must be a family that is marked by sacrifice. I love this one because Hannah prayed for this baby boy. And this is her miracle child. Miracle child. And God didn't tell Hannah to do this, but Hannah decides to dedicate this baby boy to the Lord. Take him to the temple. Drop him off permanently to be with the Lord. You know what that tells me? That Samuel was Hannah's tithe. Samuel was the first portion of the provision. And out of gratitude for Hannah's heart towards God, she tithed her only son to him. Here's my question. Are we consuming God's portion? Or are we giving God's portion back to him? Are we becoming a family that tithes and is generous? Or are we just getting fat off what the Lord provides? Wow. I love that she tithed her own son back to the Lord. And I love that no one told her to do this. And I also love that she didn't just tithe back to the Lord. She brought a bull, she brought flour, and she brought wine to sacrifice on top of that. Yes. So now, not only do I tithe, but my family's marked by sacrifice. Yes. The way out of poverty is always generosity in God's kingdom. Right. And the sustaining power of wealth is always going to be generosity in God's kingdom. May it never be said that our kids don't know how to sacrifice. May it never be said that our kids don't know how to be generous. May it never be said that our households don't know how to sacrifice. When me and my wife went through the process of adoption, one of the things that I knew we needed to do was we needed to raise funds. And through the generosity of many, many families, including a lot of families at our Focus Church family home, we actually raised $48,000 to adopt our son. $48,000. And many of you don't know, just our close friends know that we actually went through a legal battle. The moment the money was raised, the moment he came home, 3 months after that, we went through a legal battle. And that legal battle was preventing us from finalizing the adoption for our son. And so for 5 months, we incurred $20,000 more in legal fees. And we went to court twice. And the second time we went to court, just this past, just Thursday before my wife's birthday, after 3.5 hours of legally fighting for our son, the judge looks at us on our side and said, the verdict is, you won. And so we literally won the case. And now we can move forward with finalizing the adoption of our son. And he will forever be a Clemens. Hallelujah. He will forever be a Clemens. And then out of that gratitude, out of my gratitude for that, I promised the Lord that I was going to give everything I had to building his kingdom. Everything I had to building his kingdom. Because I wanted to leave a legacy behind that wasn't marked by stuff, that wasn't marked by Jordans, although they are very nice, that wasn't marked by Jordans. I wanted to leave a legacy that was marked by faith. And just this past Thursday, many of you don't know, I'm bivocational. I've been a pharmacist and a pastor, healing people medicinally and spiritually for almost 12 years. And just this past Thursday, I submitted my 2-week resignation. And now I want to fully give my life over to the ministry and to the building of God's kingdom. I want my son to see that I know how to sacrifice. And I also want him to see that my God knows how to provide. Because God did not replace Hannah's son with one more son. God gave her 3 more sons. And I'm declaring a 3-fold return on my sacrifice. I'm declaring a 3-fold return on your sacrifice. God's gonna return it. God's gonna release it. God's gonna bring it because he's a God that provides. Take 10 seconds and praise the God that provides. Praise the God that provides. Thank the God that provides. He's a providing God. He's a providing God. There is no lack in my house. He's a providing God. We will be marked by sacrifice. We will not be kingdom consumers. We will be kingdom builders. Yes. Marked by sacrifice. Right. Yeah. Before I submitted my 2-week resignation, I hadn't already made my commitment to the Kingdom Builders Initiative. Now hear me, this isn't an initiative, this is an identity. And I've already made my commitment. And it was really based on my pharmacy salary. And so now I'm standing here, maybe a little terrified, if I can be honest. Maybe freaking out just a little bit, if I can be honest. But if he did it before, if he did it before, if he brought my son home before, if I won the case before, if the money was raised before, if my life was changed before, then he can do it again. In Jesus' name, I said in Jesus' name, Mark, someone shout Mark, 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 Mark by sacrifice. Remain standing at every location. If that's you and you say, I need to be a family that seeks God, you have to repent. Yes. Repent for taking his grace for granted. Yes. Repent for taking his time for granted. Repent for not training your children's ear to the worship and the word of God. This is your moment to repent. Because this is what the Lord spoke to me at the end of this message. He gave me one sentence. And he said, a family that seeks God is the family that God seeks. And we will step into our purpose. We will step into our identity. Our families will not be lost. Our children will not be lost. We don't need prodigals to come home because they're going to stay in the house of God. Family marked. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, lift your hands and just let's pray. I'm just going to give you 30 seconds just to repent, just to turn around, just to begin to declare to God that I'm sorry. I repent. I want to be a parent that's leading my family. I want to be a father that's leading my sons. I want to be a mother that's leading my daughters. I want to be a brother and sister that is leading my family. Right now in this moment, we repent to you, Jesus. For we will be kingdom builders. It is our identity. It is our future. And it is the garment that we will wear from here on out. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give it up for God's word.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. This ministry is made possible because of the generosity of many people like you. To partner with us, you can click the link in our description or visit givetofocus.com. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe now and share it with a friend. For more inspirational content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/focuschurch. Join us next week for another incredible message.